Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up over the next 30 minutes, 78 Donegal GPs have written to the Health Minister calling for urgent action at Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency department. The smear test results of around 17,000 women in Northern Ireland are going to be rechecked. An interim roster for Gardaí will come into place shortly following a meeting of senior Garda management and all four Garda associations this morning. The finishing touches are being applied to next year's budget, and Donegal County Council is being asked to prioritise the Bonagie links in discussion with the Transport Infrastructure Ireland on the implementation of the 10T project. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will be live with the latest in sport. First in news, 78 Donegal GPs have written to the Health Minister calling for urgent action at Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency department. They have concerns over patient safety in the ED, particularly over timely access to services, and say if there are no significant changes, patients will continue to have unacceptable wait times to access basic emergency care. The GPs warn that if the people of Donegal don't get access to timely healthcare, then they will be encouraging their patients to take to the streets to demand it, describing the system as broken. The letter asks Minister Stephen Donnelly to initiate an external review and to meet with GPs locally along with Seilton management to discuss how to address the situation. On today's 9 till noon show, Fanage GP Dr. Padraig McGuinness says it's got to the point where GPs in Donegal are scared about their patients going to the emergency department.
We're hearing every day from our patients over and over and over again that they get great care when they get in the door, but that they're waiting in some cases 24 hours plus to see a clinician. That's just really, really unsafe. There's a really scary statistic where they did a huge study in the UK of NHS patients, and it showed that actually for about every 80 patients who wait more than 5 hours in A&E, by the way, that's all of our patients, that there's an excess death within 30 days in that patient cohort. Patients waiting in A&E is not just an inconvenience, it's a risk to their health and it's a risk to their life as well. And we're no longer willing to accept it. And now is the time when we're going to raise a flag and say we're going to advocate for our patients. This is the first time, I guess, that the GPs have rolled in such huge numbers. And let me put your listeners on notice that if we're ignored, we're taking you to the streets. Okay, so if we don't get the outcome that we want and that our patients deserve and that our patients need, then we will take to the streets. You know, excuses are not working here, and excuses are no good to my 80-year-old patient who I sent up today, who still will wait for 24 hours to see a doctor in A&E. So I suppose, do I think they're going to do something about it? Greg, we're not going to let them not. And the GPs were really clear on that this is not just a bounce in a letter and see what happens. This is the first step of asking them to sit up and treat us in the same way that the rest of the country. And I just want to give you one, I know people don't want to be bamboozled with stats, but this is an important one. Of all our ambulance services across the country, we have the longest drop-off times, and we already have one of the longest commute times. So the average drop-off time in Letterkenny emergency department for ambulances is an hour and 30 minutes. For Dublin, that's less than an hour. For Galway, it's 43 minutes. For Ballinasloe, it's less than 50 minutes. So we're doing something wrong in Letterkenny, and we're not getting the resources that we need, and we're no longer willing to be the poor cousin and be left behind.
Councillor Jerry McMonigal is a member and former chair of the HSE's Regional Health Forum, and he's been campaigning for more investment at the hospital for many years. He's welcomed the GP's intervention.
I very much welcome their intervention. And I fully support the call for the minister to meet with them and Seilta to discuss their serious concerns and their concerns that we've been raising for quite a while now. The ongoing crisis at the emergency department is totally unacceptable. I know, and I have to say, that the staff are trying their very, very best, but all the different pathways and interjections that they're making are not working great. And I'm really pleased to see that the GPs now are taking a stand on this. When you see what they're saying, is that they the GPs, are finding it increasingly difficult to send patients referring to the emergency department because of the ongoing crisis up there and the length of time patients are awaiting.
The GPs don't have faith in the management team that are currently there. They don't believe that they can fix the problems. Do you agree with that?
I would go some way to agreeing with that. And I've said it in the past. And this is not a personal attack on any of the management. I think it's just beyond them. The crisis is such It's so large. There's been years and years of lack of investment. The health service that we need and deserve has outgrown the hospital and its capacity to deliver a proper healthcare service.
Well, there were 41 admitted patients awaiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, the third highest figure in the country after Limerick with 102 and Cork with 51. Of the Letterkenny total, 14 of them were on emergency department trolleys. There were 34 patients awaiting beds at Sligo University Hospital and 19 of them in the ED. Nationally, the total this morning was 555, with 405 people on emergency department trolleys. The finishing touches are being applied to next year's budget. Coalition leaders and the Ministers for Finance and Public Expenditures have been meeting this afternoon. Andrew Louth reports roundups of what we know so far.
It looks like the government is going to accept the Low Pay Commission's recommendation of a €1.40 increase to the minimum wage, bringing it to €12.70. Energy credits will make a return this winter, and they're expected to be between €400 and €450 euro in total. Other one-off measures include payments for carers and people with disabilities, as well as a double social welfare payment in either December or January. It's thought the cost of living package will be worth over €2 billion euro in total. There will be a social welfare rate increase of at least €12, but it could be as high as 15 from January. There are also changes incoming to personal taxation, with the 4.5% rate of USC to be reduced to 4, while the entry point for the higher rate of income tax will go up 2,000 to 42,000 euro. The budgets of the Departments of Social Protection and Children were the outstanding departments to be finalised before the meeting of government leaders this afternoon.
The smear test results of around 17,000 women in Northern Ireland are going to be rechecked. It comes as part of a review of cervical screening at the Southern Trust dating back to 2008. It was called after concerns were raised by laboratory staff last year. Chloe Gibson has more.
A report today by the body in charge of that assessment says while most negative results were correct, a significant number of women are likely to have had negative results, which would have been identified as potentially abnormal by other laboratories. The Trust's writing to all women affected and says in some cases they could be asked to come for another smear test.
Dr. Stephen Austin, the Trust's medical director, has apologised to those affected.
As medical director, I'd like to apologise on behalf of the Trust for the anxiety and distress this has caused women in the Southern Trust area. I would also like to reassure women that this is a precautionary measure to double check that their results are correct.
An interim roster for Gardaí will come into place shortly following a meeting between senior Garda management and all four Garda associations this morning. It was also agreed that the associations within a short period of time will engage with Garda management in internal negotiations on a new roster. The Garda Representative Association confirmed last week it was deferring days of industrial action, including tomorrow, which is budget day. The road from Frosses to Kilrain has reopened following a technical examination of yesterday's fatal collision outside Glenties. A male motorcyclist in his 40s has died following the single vehicle collision. Gardaí are urging anyone who witnessed the collision or has dashcam footage to come forward. The number of Gardaí policing the roads has fallen by over a third since records were first compiled in 2009. Back then, there were 1,046 Gardaí on road policing duty, while this year that figure is 676. 143 people have died on Irish roads so far this year, including four people over the past weekend. INTO leader Pádraig Tobin, who was provided the figures via a parliamentary question, says the drop in Garda numbers is leading to an increase in deaths.
That fall has actually continued for each month of this year. So there's a correlation, I believe, between the lack of Gardaí policing the roads and the changes in the behaviour of drivers. And we can see, unfortunately and tragically, that there has been a significant increase in the fatalities that are happening at the road on the roads at the moment.
Donegal County Council is being asked to prioritise the Bonagie Link in discussions with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. It's on the implementation of the 10T project, which includes roads from the Twin Towns to Manor Cunningham to Lifford, linking with the A5 in Strabane and a new bridge over the Swilly. Councillor Michael McBride will tell a meeting of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District tomorrow that the traffic in Letterkenny is now so bad he believes the bridge is the only solution to what is now becoming regular chronic congestion. Councillor McBride says the implementation of new lights at the Polestar roundabout next week will not be enough.
There's been a lot of lights put on. I know there's more lights to be turned on next week out at the Polestar roundabout. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, even when the lights are turned on, I don't think it's going to have any massive impact regarding the improvement of traffic flow. And Letterkenny, you know, I don't think it's going to free up the town the way it needs to be. The only way it can be freed up is with the link across the Swilly, as we refer to it as the Bonnygee link, that has to be looked at. To try to, you know, move traffic that doesn't have to come into Letterkenny, I think that would have an impact and begin to free up some traffic and around Letterkenny.
If you go to the twin towns of Ballybofey and Stranraer, people there are going to be saying, we effectively have a really busy national road running right through our town centre, running past homes, running past schools, running past shops, and our town centre is completely clogged. We need this bypass and we've been waiting 30 years. Why should Letterkenny suddenly jump the queue?
Yeah, I totally appreciate it. The only thing that I will say about Ballybofey, if you're coming from Donegal town, you can turn left at the roadhouse and you can bypass the town. You can go right into the town and go round by the Finn Valley Centre. Letterkenny, when you're coming into the town, there are only two crossings, the Port Bridge and the Old Town Bridge. Both of them are completely clogged up. And I just think myself, you know, that it does warrant being done first. We'd be hoping in the next number of years that that will start. And I think that Letterkenny should be front end loaded on that project. I'm convinced of that and I stand very firm on it.
The time is approaching 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and Oisin Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. We're going over to the sports desk to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with football. Sammy Simonics could make his long-awaited Republic of Ireland debut in the coming days. The joint top scorer in the English Championship has been called up as a replacement for the injured Aaron Connolly. Simonics is an attacking midfielder who's played on the left wing and as a centre-forward for Blackburn Rovers. The Ireland squad started training today ahead of the Euro 2024 home qualifier against Greece on Friday and in Gibraltar on Monday. Meanwhile, Irish boss Stephen Kenny will be hoping that John O'Shea remains in the backroom team. The former Ireland skipper was promoted to senior assistant coach for the under-21 setup in February. O'Shea, however, is expected to join Manchester United teammate Wayne Rooney at Birmingham City. City sacked former Ireland assistant John Ustez today and are in advanced talks with Rooney to replace him as head coach. Ireland rugby head coach Andy Farrell isn't calling up any players to the squad ahead of the World Cup quarterfinal. Wings Mac Hansen and James Lowe are improving after being forced off in the pool match won against Scotland on Saturday. Hamstrung pair Robbie Henshaw and Keith Earls are also in contention to face New Zealand this weekend. Team manager Mick Kearney admits they have a wait over lock James Ryan, who's injured his hand against Scotland.
Yeah, we won't have a definitive on James, obviously, until after he sees the specialist, but certainly there would be more optimism around James than probably what was originally anticipated. No call-ups, no one added to the squad, and at this stage, no one ruled out for the match against New Zealand on Saturday night.
To Gaelic games, Niamh Connell and Gwydor will face off in the final of the Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Senior Football Championship. Niamh Connell got the better of arch-rival St Unans in the second semi-final at McCool Park yesterday, winning by 11 points to 9. Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan was well pleased to have got through to what now is a record 7th straight Senior Football Championship decider. But he knows it would and knew that it was always going to be a tight game.
Yeah, look, it went down to the wire. We knew all week. Last week we were chatting about that there. Just was going to be a 1-point game, 2-point game, and that's the way it transpired. We were probably hanging on a wee bit there at the end, but thankfully we just got over the line now. So we've a big 2 weeks ahead of us now to prepare for Gwydor.
Well, St Unan's manager Rory Kavanagh says it wasn't to be their day against their arch rivals.
We have no complaints. I think on the balance, they were the ones in control for most periods of the game. Second half, boys never give up and boys try to the very end, and we had 3 big wides in a row there. And I suppose in a game of that closeness, everyone on needs to go over, you know. And we just, fortunately for us, they went the wrong side of the post today.
And you can hear more from Rory Kavanagh and indeed Martin Regan and the rest of the big GA stories from the weekend available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And there's more Donegal Championship talk this evening on the DL debate with Brendan Devaney after the 7 o'clock news. His guests this week are John Gilday and Brendan Kilcoyne. Plus, there's a preview of the upcoming Donegal Junior and Intermediate finals as well. Elsewhere in the Derry Senior Football Championship, the semi-final lineups have been confirmed. Reigning champions Glen will play Slochneil, while Amara Felt are set to take on Newbridge. And in golf, England's Matt Fitzpatrick has won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, taking victory by 3 shots at St Andrews. After a rain-disrupted weekend, the tournament was reduced to a 54-hole event, with the final day pushed back to today. It's a 9th PD World Tour title for Fitzpatrick, who also won the team trophy alongside his mother, Susan.
Obviously, we played last year and didn't quite play so well, and this year she's played fantastic, and I played really solid as well. And, I just think, you just couldn't ask for a better week.
That's Matt Fitzpatrick, and that's your sport, Donna Marie. We'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. Ireland is among the countries with the most roundabouts in the world. Research by discovercars.com found there were a total of 1,927 in the country, which is about 28 roundabouts per kilometre squared. We come in fifth place on the list per capita, with the Walkinstown roundabout Dublin South being reported as the most notable. Chief Executive of the Royal Irish Automobile Club, Conor Fawn, says the intersections don't have to be as scary as they seem.
When people are learning how to drive, a busy roundabout, definitely a very scary thing. But there are simple rules for the driver to follow. They're in your driver theory test. You will have learned them as you learned how to drive, and all drivers will know them. And they're to do with how you indicate properly the lane with which you approach a roundabout. And as I say, they're simple enough rules. If you know them and follow them, they work perfectly well.
Ireland's three main banks must offer real financial support to defective block homeowners, according to a Fine Gael MEP. Bank of Ireland, AIB and Permanent TSB have indicated they're willing to offer millions of euro in zero interest loans to those trying to rebuild their homes. That's according to, and they recently briefed Oireachtas members on proposals that are being assessed by the central bank. It's in order to bridge the gap in financing, as the state's 3 billion euro redress scheme can only be accessed in stages. But there's scepticism among campaign groups about whether the banks will actually follow through with that proposal. MEP Colm Markey says they must.
The banks will be secure in terms of the money is there from the government, if you like, to pay once the works is done. Like, the government can't give you the money. There has to be some control and regulatory element of getting the works done correctly. So the banks should step forward, must step forward, and provide that bridging finance. They are part of this mix as well.
Israel has ordered a total blockade of Gaza, leaving the territory with no food, fuel or water. More than 800 people have reportedly been killed in Israel and around 560 in Gaza following clashes with Hamas. Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, is defending her country's decision to impose a blockade.
Hamas, as the leader of Gaza, as the leadership, they have the responsibility and capability to take care of their population. If they have the infrastructure to build those rockets, if they have the infrastructure to build all of those tunnels and the amount of money that goes into that, they can also take care of the population.
Editor of the Irish Catholic, Michael Kelly, is in Israel with a group of Irish pilgrims. He says they're receiving support from the embassy in Tel Aviv.
They're actually just concerned for their relatives and friends at home who are worrying about them. I suppose the biggest manifestation that we would see of the shift in the conflict here in the north is that a lot of the bus terminals, a lot of the roadside junctions, there are literally hundreds of young men and women in the distinctive olive green uniform of the Israeli Defence Forces who have been called up into service.
Derry City and Strabane District Council are appealing to the public to heed warnings about the potential risk posed by children's Halloween costumes and accessories. The campaign led by the council's environmental health team says it's important that parents check for the CE official marking. Sean O'Regan has more.
The environmental health team has put together a list of some potential risks and recommendations to ensure everyone has a very safe and happy Halloween. These include avoiding a naked flame or candle in pumpkins and instead opting for a torch, glow stick or battery-operated candle, to stop drop and roll if clothing does catch on fire, choose a costume that doesn't restrict a child's visibility, vision or breathing, and wearing heavy or thick clothes under costumes to create a barrier between the costume and skin. A link to more safety information can be found on our website, highlandradio.com.
Having a look to the weather, sunny spells continue to develop through the evening. However, it's staying misty in some coastal areas throughout the day. Warm and humid with highest temperatures of 18 to 20 degrees in light breezes. Mostly dry tonight with clear spells, turning cloudier later with patchy rain or drizzle developing. And a mild and humid night with lowest temperatures of 12 to 15 degrees in a freshening southwest wind. To conclude this evening's main headlines, 78 Donegal GPs have written to the Health Minister calling for urgent action at Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency department. The smear tests of around 17,000 women in Northern Ireland are going to be rechecked. An interim roster for Gardaí will come into place shortly following a meeting between senior Garda management and all four Garda associations this morning. The finishing touches are being applied to next year's budget, and Donegal County Council is being asked to prioritise the Bonagie Link in discussions with the Transport Infrastructure Ireland on the implementation of the 10T project. That's all for now. The next news update is at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, stay up to date with all the latest local news on our website, highlandradio.com. From myself and the news team, good evening. The obituary notices this Monday evening, October 9th. The death has taken place of Arnie White, Rossview House, Letterkenny Road, Convoy. His remains will repose at his late residence from 8 p.m. this evening. Service at his home on Wednesday at 2 p.m. with burial afterwards in St. Ninian's Church Graveyard. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of John McGarvey, 41 Rosemount Kilmacrennan, formerly Barnes Terman. Remains will repose at his home from 5 p.m. tomorrow. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 3 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Family Room ICU, Galway University Hospital, care of any family member, or Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. The death has taken place of Mina White, 26 Muckle Hill View, Castledare, formerly of Knock Gannon Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence, with funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for 1 o'clock funeral service in Drumlega Presbyterian Church, followed by burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time please from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu to Drumlega Presbyterian Church Building Fund, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. For more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.